She's not kidding. Good luck with the camera. Not too many are successful in keeping up with me. It'll be okay. When Pastor Lisa asked me on Thursday to minister, there was a hesitation in me. But then I began, as the Lord began to speak to my heart, I began to see your faces. Not individual faces. But I knew that you were coming with purpose in your heart. Some of you think maybe you came because it's a good time to get away from mom and dad for a week and I don't have to listen to them badgering me in my ear, right? Amen? Amen. You'll say amen by the end of the week. It's okay. And the Lord began to speak to my heart, and I thought as we gave honor to my father-in-law tonight, I thought about how some of you are not going to hear a word I say tonight. That's okay. That doesn't offend me. Some of you is not going to hear a word that Pastor Lisa says to you. You're not going to hear any words that the counselors might speak in your ear and the advice they give you. You might not hear it for tonight. You might not know what to do with it tomorrow. But I'm telling you tonight that the mantle of God that is in this house, the force, the power, the reckoning God that has come down in the midst of us will deal with you every moment of every day of your life, not to interrupt your life and make you miserable, but he will draw you to himself. He will walk into your bedroom at night when you feel like you're the only one there and no one gives a flying flip who you are, where you've been, and what's going on in your house. And he'll walk into your bedroom, and you're going to remember this night, and you're going to say, the mantle of God is in my life. The force, the mantle, that wide encompassing dress of God has fallen into my life, and I did not even know it. When Pastor Jack Hiles Sr. gave his heart to God, he had no idea what God was going to do in this place on this hill. But you are here tonight because when the mantle fell on him, he said, it's not enough for me to have it for myself. It's not enough for just my children. It's not enough for just my grandchildren. But I'm going to take it to the nations. Every place the soles of our feet touch, every time they hear our voice, they will hear from the mantle of God that is in this house. You have no idea what your destiny's going to be. You're sitting here tonight, young and vibrant. You see, I see a lot of Joshuas and Calebs sitting in the house tonight. You're not this generation that says, we'll get it done tomorrow. You're the generation that when you hear something, it jumps up inside of you and you say, let's get it done today. The same God that spoke it 40 years ago is the same God I'm going to trust to do it in my life today. That's the people I'm talking to tonight that are not ashamed. You're not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it does not make you ashamed to walk into your school and just be a God person. Amen. You don't have to go around condemning everybody, telling them they're going to hell. They already know that. What they'd like to know is how to get out of it. They'd like to know. And you have the mantle of God. You have the force. That word, the force. The force is strong with this one. You see, we could go around the room tonight and we could lay our hands on everyone and say, the force is strong with you. The mantle of God is strong in your life. How do I know that? Because whosoever will may come. And he included all of us. As the Lord began to deal with my heart, I went to 2 Kings. Go there first. Put your glasses on, Lily. You can't see a thing. 2 Kings, I'm still on 1 Kings, chapter 2. I want to read just a little bit because if I don't, I'm going to miss some points. And I really want you to hear what God spoke to me for you. Because see, you didn't come here just by chance and just to get out of the house. And I know you came to make friends, and you wanted to see the ones you made last year, and you had that sweetheart that was on the line, you know, and you texted them until probably 2 weeks after camp, and you had that camp sweetheart, you know, and they were the apple of your eye, and you got all that going on, you know. I can see, you know, you're young, you're ready to roll here, your eyes have been scoping it out, seeing the territory. You done got your eye, and you done know where your heart is going about to sink into. But in the meantime, while you're scoping out the territory, God wants to speak some things directly into your heart that will grip you for the rest of your life. How do I know that? Because at the age of 9 years old, God spoke to my heart and changed my life. He came into my life, and I dedicated myself to Him. A few years later, thank you. A few years later, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I received an experience like no experience. I laid for hours on the floor speaking in tongues. You don't have to go to the same barn and get kicked by the same mule like I did, but you can receive the power the same as everybody else. And then I started being churched. Help me, Father. You know, I did everything they told me, Jason. If they said, wear your dress to here, I wore my dress clear down there. If they said, let your hair grow to your ankles, I would try it. If they said, don't do this and do this, I did it all because I so wanted to please my Father. I wanted the approval of my Father. I didn't know that when He died, He gave me His approval. Somebody should have come and told me. The approval's already on stamped, grade A, prime choice right here. I'm the apple of His eye. If it had only been me, He'd have died for me. If it had only been you, He'd have died for you, because such great love. Such great love. 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into the heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord that sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And I thought, you got to have some little background. Elijah was the prophet in the land of Israel at that time. He was the man, he was the go-to man. If you want to know what God was saying, this was the man you went to. He knew what God was saying. He knew the voice of God. He'd heard it. A few chapters before this, he's standing in the midst of all the prophets of Baal. And he's digging ditches. And he's pouring water on the sacrifices. And he's going to prove who's God's God. God comes down and He speaks and He consumes the offering. Elijah said, God, if you're the God that I serve, consume the, and He consumed the offering. This is the same Elijah that who said there was going to be a drought in the land. There was a drought in the land. But who stood in the midst and said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, and it's going to rain. Now, the scripture declares that when the chariot took off, and I like this part, because I'm thinking, you know, I'm 56 years old. Yeah, I know, I'm old. I'm 56 years old. This prophet was probably quite a bit older than that. The scripture said when the chariot took off, Elijah takes off running and beats the chariot to the town. Now that's the kind of a man Elijah is. You need to know that. But all of a sudden, after he's destroyed all the prophets of Baal, and they're laying dead, there's a woman in town by the name of Jezebel. She has a spirit of, ain't nobody going to one-up me. These were her prophets. These were the ones that she was conniving with. And when she heard tell that Elijah had just had all of her prophets slain, she starts this little, you tell Elijah I'm coming for him. He's mine, and by the time he wakes up in the morning, his head will be on my platter. I'm going to kill him. Now, this is the man who just called fire down out of heaven. This is the man who saw the cloud the size of a man's hand and said, I'm going to take off running because when God says it's going to rain, it's going to rain. This is the man that's hearing everything from God. Now, if that was in our time, we would look at him and say, Elijah, you have failed. You've missed God. Because you've let this woman just tear you completely down. And we would want to discard him, get rid of him. And I heard something in my spirit. And I heard this more for those of you who have set and have been ministry for years. Sometimes we've looked at our mentors and we have said, there's some nicks and some chinks in their armor. There's something wrong with them. They failed. Can I tell you something? Elijah may have had some failings, but there was nothing wrong with the anointing that was in his life. We want to discard. God help us if you make a mistake. They're no account. Then Elisha should have never made a pact with Elijah because he made a mistake. Elijah looks up and he said, you know what? I've had enough. I have served God all my life. Here we go. You know, we've been pastoring for 26 years. Trust me, there have been days when I've said, I'm out. Done. You know, I heard, and please don't be offended when I say this, I heard Sister B. Lamont testify one time. Now, she's in her 90s. She can still wear high heels. I'm wearing flip-flops. She made a statement one time. She said that another lady had gotten up. She was in the midst of probably something like a youth camp. And she stood and she began to minister. And she was trying to get their attention. Everybody was half falling asleep. Nobody was paying attention. They didn't even act like they was paying attention. This lady stood up. She looked at him and she said, fine. If you want to go to hell, go to hell. You know what? Sometimes if we just tune our ear to hear what God's saying, we might miss a lot of hell in our lives. We might miss a lot of stuff. You see, sometimes when Dad and Mom are talking to you and they're saying that stupid stuff, you know, they're as dumb as a box of rocks anyway. You know, they don't have a clue. God, you don't have a clue what's going on in my life. Please. You see, I've got a 12-year-old granddaughter who thinks she's 18 or 19. And, you know, you get these roll in the eyes. I said, one of these days I'm going to roll them eyes right back up in the front of your head. Because they're dumb. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're talking about. But you see, sometimes if we just listen, we'd save ourselves a whole lot of hell and heartache. Number one, some of them have been through some stuff they don't want you going through. They don't want you to have to feel like they felt. They don't want you to feel the despondency and the aggravation and the upset. They want you to have life and that more abundantly. Elijah's in the midst of this. And here's Elisha. And old Elisha said, well, if you're going down to Bethel, that's where I'm going. I ain't leaving your side. You know, and I thought, Elisha, how did you get in this picture? Well, like I was telling you, Elijah got himself irritated. He got PO'd at God. He got a little upset that God wasn't working. Like, I mean, here's this woman, Jezebel, going to take his life, and I've laid down my life for God. I'm the only one standing. I'm the only one who hears from God. I'm the only thing happening in the earth today. God looks at him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? He said, well, I've laid down my life. I've talked to these people till I'm blue in the face. And they don't have a clue what I'm trying to tell them. They don't know. They won't listen. They don't get it. God looks at him. Sometimes I wish he could just, and he does. He speaks to us so plainly. He looks at Elijah. He said, Elijah, you go on down there, and he said, you're going to appoint this one as king of here, and you're going to appoint that one. And he said, I got a man named Elisha. And he said, I'm going to put him in your room. You want to give up your house? You want to give up your seat? You think you're the only one? He said, and besides that, I got 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. They ain't even touched nothing. They haven't turned their head aside from me. Their whole heart is set to follow me with everything they've got inside of me. So, Elijah, if you want to die, okay. You know, I'm thinking, God, This man said he wants to die. And God said, okay. Good for me, you know. I got somebody else. So here we have Elisha walking alongside of Elijah. But you're saying, well, why in the world would he want to connect himself with a man who's just, he's supposed to be the mentor. He's supposed to be the one with the anointing. He's supposed to be the one that has heard from God. He just called fire down out of heaven. Why would I want to follow him? Because the anointing of God, the mantle of God was on him. He might have had failings, but the anointing didn't fail. So he goes on down. Oh, thank you. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Next verse. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? Because, see, the word of God had already come that Elijah was going to be taken away. He wasn't just going to lay down and die. There was a chariot of fire about to come down, and it was going to take Elijah off. And Elisha was going to be the next one to take over. He looks at him, he said, yes, I know, keep silent. Can you hear Elisha? He said, you know, I know that. Shut your mouth. I got this. I know what's about to happen. I've been listening to God too. I can hear too. You ever told somebody that? You think you're the only one who can hear from God? I can hear from God too. And that's kind of what Elisha's looking at the people that are standing around. They're saying, I know. I know he's about to go. And I know the responsibility is about to fall to me. But I got a plan. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord live and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Wherever Elijah goes, me and my shadow. Elisha's right behind him. Okay, next verse. Is that it? Okay. And Elisha said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Next verse. Then Elijah said to him, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, well, they all look alike, and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now listen to this. Now Elijah took his mantle. He took the force. He took the power. He took that wide dressing thing that he had. And here's what he's going to do. And struck the water, and it was divided this way and that. This mantle is yours. When death, when upset, when confusion, when persecution, when denial, when panic, when it steps into your life, all you got to do is roll it up and divide it so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. I want to give you an example tonight. Jack, can you come up here, please? Jamie, Sean, my whole crew, just come up here. Let me show you something. Some of them knew I was going to do this, and some of them, surprise! Where's my grandbabies? All my grandbabies left. Are you kidding me? Come on, Q. He's my grandbaby. Hey. 12-year-old's gone. You see, Elijah wasn't going to do all this just so he missed hell. This mantle, this power, this force, this dynamite that is inside of you is not just so you can escape hell, or not just so you can speak in tongues, or not just so you can feel the goosebumps. But what it is the power of God, not just for you. But when he walked, they all walked. Follow me. One, two, because it ain't no good to me if it ain't gonna work for them. From generation to generation to generation, the mantle has fallen. When my granddaughter stood here tonight to worship, I looked to the heavens and I said, Pap, can you see your mantle as it has fallen, as it is anointing, and it is breaking yokes as they stand? It wasn't enough for Pastor Pastor Jack Winford House to have a mantle and not know what to do with it. He knew exactly what to do with it because he gave instruction. He imparted. He laid down his life. And when this one got it, he passed it on down the line. Because if it works for Elijah, it will work for you. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for something that won't work for your family. Amen. Elijah, he said, the two of them crossed over on dry ground. I'm tired of wading in the muck and the mire. I'm tired of getting it half done. But when I walk with two, me and God, when the mantle, this mantle that is on you, it will roll back all the muck and the mire, and you can walk through on dry ground, and it's the same anointing. You see, you don't have to have the name of Hiles to have the anointing. You don't have to go to Word of Deliverance Church. You don't have to go to Chapel of Praise Church. For God's sakes, even if you don't go to church and you're sitting under the sound of my voice and the mantle falls on you, it will work in your life. I heard this in my spirit, and I thought, I don't know if they'll get it or not, because they're pretty young, and this is an old saying. You know, we used to say all the time, we cut our teeth on the back of a pew. You know, because I've been in church all my life. I told you, I've been churched and churched and churched. But I heard the Spirit of God say, some of these guys don't need, how do I say, some of us cut our teeth on the back of a pew. Some of you don't even know what a pew is. And that's okay. That's okay. If when you go home and there's no church foundation for you, it's okay. The mantle of God, the force, the dynamite, the extreme force of God is still there. It still covers. It still protects. And let me tell you this. Let me go one step further. Even if, after you've called fire down out of heaven, even if after you've just caused a drought and then caused the rain to come to get rid of the drought, you let somebody speak in your ear and destroy your faith, and you throw up your hands and say, I'm done, the anointing of God will not leave your life. It will not. I don't care what anybody tells you, it ain't going nowhere. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. They're yours to keep. You know, I thought about how my father-in-law laid down his life to establish this in every year. And sometimes we would think, dear God, Dad, we're tired. Do we have to do it again? Do you know how many kids are coming? And every year, here we go again. And you know, half of them ain't going to listen. You know, some of them's going to go home and just as be as mean as they ever was. God, we're tired. No. He wanted to make sure that every child heard. You know, one of the president's wives coined the phrase, no child left behind. Can I tell you something? My father-in-law had that theory. No child will be left behind. They have a right to hear that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Next verse, please. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what may I do for you before I am taken away from you. You know, I so love my father-in-law. I loved his spirit. I loved the mantle of God that was on him. I loved the way he embraced and never questioned. Unfavoringly, without reservation. Didn't matter who you were, where you came from, what your background was. There was an embrace for you. That was his life. I want that mantle. But here's what I think we need to do. Pap, what you did was the greatest that we've ever seen. I'm satisfied. I'm so happy with what you did. But here's what I want you to do. And I'm praying this tonight. You need to ask him. I don't want just what I've got. I want a double portion of what you got. I want double because I'm going to stand in a perverse generation. And I want double of what you got. Can I tell you something? If you ask him for double, you will get double. Not that there was anything wrong with what Elijah had. Not that there was anything wrong with what Pap had. But let me just tell you something. You can take it a step further. I want a double portion. Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Let it fall, Father. Let it be upon us. Everybody in the sound of my voice has the right to a double portion. You don't have to just settle for what somebody else had or what grandma had. You can have your double portion. Let me read on. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Man, do you know what? Can you hear Elijah? I kind of hear him in the background saying, God, do you know what I've done? I called fire down out of heaven. I have caused a drought. I've done all these things. And you want twice as much as what I got? Yep. You ask me. You ask me what I wanted. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And I thought, God, that's kind of a lot of condition right there. And I went over to Acts chapter 1. And he says, I like the way he puts it. He said, the people are coming to the disciples and they're saying, Lord, and they're coming to Christ and they're saying, when are you coming back? You know, what season is it? You know, can you tell us what time it is, you know, in the kingdom of God? Are we for first day, second day, third day? What day are we in, Father? And this was his response. You don't have to worry about what day you're in. What you have to understand is that the Holy Ghost is going to be inside of you. And you're going to have every bit of power you need to be witnesses in every city you go into. Doesn't matter what the season is, night season, day season. It doesn't matter if you're first day, second day, third day, 18th day. Here's what you need to know. The power of God will rest upon you, and you'll be witnesses for me in every city that you go into. That's all you need to know. And I like, let me turn to Acts real quick. Stay right there. You can stay in Kings. I'm coming back to it. Is this okay? Are you asleep yet? I like this in verse 9 of chapter 1 in the book of Acts. It says, because he just told him, he said, here's what you got to do. You got to understand that the Holy Ghost is coming. Now, we know in Acts 2, the Holy Ghost gets here. The Holy Ghost is coming. But he hadn't got there yet. Here's Jesus standing, and he's trying to explain to him. He says, you don't have to worry about what day it is, but what you need to understand is everything I got's coming to you, and you're going to have power to do whatever you need to do. And here's what they do. It says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him. What did that verse say that we just read in Kings? If you see me when I go. They're looking, and they're saying, he looks at me, he said, you know, they're looking up, and there they stand. And he's ascending to his Father. Let me read it. When they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up? Can I tell you something? You just seen the whole God just ascend before you. You've just seen the power that is God raise this man from the dead. You just seen him walk on water. You've seen him feed the 5,000. You have seen what he can do. He just got up from 3 days in the grave. And they're looking up. If you see him when he goes, you'll get that double portion. Finally, the two men look at him and said, "Why are you still standing here?"
Come on.
Can I tell you something? Why are we still standing here? Because Acts chapter 2 says it like this: "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come," they were not waiting. There was no more expectation. There was no more just a tabernacle built for it. There was no more just a day to celebrate what might be. But the day of Pentecost, the day when the full force of this mantle blew into your life. You weren't there in Acts chapter 2, but you have been there on your day of Pentecost when the day fully came into your life. And he looks at you and he says, "You've seen me? Now get going. Take what you've got and take it to the nations." Because I already told you in Acts chapter 1, you don't need to worry about the seasons or the times. What you need to understand is you got the power, baby. The force is strong with this one. And it's not just about one. But this is a corporate anointing that's fallen in the house. It's not just going to stop. You see, when I look at my kids and I see my grandkids, you see, Jamie Brandon just had a baby in December. He didn't, but that would have been a miracle. Our little Nicole had us an 8-pound, 11-ounce bouncing baby boy that's about 19, 20 pounds now at 6 months old. Just a roly-poly pudding and pie. You just want to squeeze him. And I look at him, and he comes to my house every day, 5 days a week, for Pawpaw to babysit him. And I watch him as he looks into Pawpaw's eyes. And I watch him when Pawpaw begins to sing to him. And I watch as his little head starts to do this number. That's my Pawpaw. I know his voice. I know his love. I know his touch. There's a mantle. There's a power. There's an encompassing force that cannot be broken. You see, we might have some nicks in our armor. We might look like we ain't going to make it. We might at one point cry like Elijah, "I'm done. They ain't listening. I'm done. Take me out, God. Okay, you going." But I done raised me up. You see, the mantle done fell in the house. And the mantle's done fallen on the multitudes that have been through this house. And see, you can't stop the force. Because this force that's with you cannot be stopped. You see, I got a seed of God. I heard Jimmy Carrier say this probably 10, 15 years ago. He said, "This seed is unabortable, it's unstoppable, and it's incorruptible." That seed is the seed and the power of God that's inside of you, and there's nothing can stop it. I don't care what your mentors might not have done that you didn't like. Well, I can say this. This ain't my house. See, it doesn't matter. You see, I like this. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord when I was thinking about my father-in-law. You see, he was never the type that what he had, he didn't want you to get anything better than he had. If he had an anointing, you know, when Pap got the anointing and the fire started falling and the head jerk came, he didn't care if you jerked twice as hard as he did. See, he didn't have a spirit of Saul that knew David was going to be the next in line. And the people began to praise David and say, "Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. And Saul, from that moment forth, hated David with a passion. While he knew he was anointed to be the next in line, he sought to kill him at every opportunity. See, that wasn't my father-in-law. That's not what I'm about. That's not what Pastor Lise is about. Because what we're doing as we pass this mantle is we're not looking to hold you down and keep you just under what we've got so that you don't look any better than us. We don't have a Saul mentality that wants to kill you because you want to go on and get a double portion. What we want to do is we want to say, if you see me when I go, if you see the fullness of God like we see in the fullness of God, it's yours, baby. It's yours. Go back to 2 Kings. You've asked a hard thing, but if you see me, next verse, please. Then it happened as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, Pap didn't go in a whirlwind, but he sure did cause a lot of commotion. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Next verse. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes. He said, "I'm not content to dwell or be clothed the way I'm clothed anymore." Because he said, "What I want is what Elijah's got. What I want is a double portion of what Elijah's got." And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Next verse. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. Can you see Elijah? I mean, the chariot's coming down. I mean, we're talking about our Star Wars. I had to think for a minute. I'm thinking Star Wars, Star Trek, because when I got up here tonight, I was going to say, "Scotty, beam me up," but that's Star Trek, and I wouldn't have even been in the right movie. You know, we're talking about Star Wars. Can you imagine a chariot of fire coming down and swooping up your mentor, your father? And here stands Elisha. My father, the horsemen of Israel. Here they come and taking you. And the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now you got to know something. Let me take you to 1 Kings. I like to start at the back and go to the beginning. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is where Elisha gets his calling, and he goes through, and Elijah, you know, figures out that God said, "Oh, well, you know, if you want to die, die," you know. And Elisha gets his calling. And let me see if this is where I want to be. Now, I want to go back to 2 Kings. I'll get there. Let me just finish reading it. Maybe it's on down here. What verse are we in? And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets. Okay, go back. Can you flip back to 2 Kings? Sorry. And he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Go ahead, read the next verse. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Now, what you have to understand is, in a previous chapter, whichever one it was, Elijah had stood at this same Jordan. Oh, yeah, right. Y'all don't make mistakes either. Elijah had stood at this same Jordan with the prophets of Baal watching, the sons of the prophets, it calls them, standing there. And as he began to take his mantle, he smote it, and the Jordan parted. What we just read. Right. I did read that. Yeah. See, I told you, beam me up, Scotty, because y'all stressing me out. As the sons of the prophets are standing there, they're watching Elijah part the water. Well, this Elisha now has a double portion. He walks over to the same water. Yeah. Elisha's standing there, and he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" Let me say it to you like this. Where is the God of Jack Winford Hiles? Because the double portion has fallen on this house. And all you got to do is receive what has fallen to you. Pick up the mantle, because when he also struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. I don't know about you, but I think I know where the God of Elijah is. I think I know where the mantle is tonight. You see, I'm looking at mantle wearers. I'm looking at those who are endued with the power and the force of God, and there's nothing and nobody that can stop what's inside of you. Where's the God of Elijah? I don't know if you know this, but the scripture begins to declare, and it talks about how Elisha did double the miracles that Elijah did. He got his double portion. Why? Because he dared to say, that's what I want. You see, you came to camp, Word of Deliverance Camp, 2012, 31 years. That's how old my youngest son is, 31 years. He was born in April, and we had camp in June or July that year. He cut his teeth on the back of this pew. But you know what? Every year, as we brought our children, we've talked about this before church. When our kids, when we were working the camp, there was no day camp. Our kids played in the dirt pile behind the hill over here. There wasn't nobody keeping them and having Bible school and pampering them and keeping them cool and taking them swimming. They just played in the dirt pile. We never knew where we were going to find them, in the poison ivy or where they would be swinging from a tree. We didn't know what they were going to be doing. We just had to trust God. But we were willing to make sure the mantle fell where it needed to fall. Because our destiny was not just for me and my four and no more, but it was to go out and touch the nations. You see, this might not make a lick of sense to you tonight, but in a few years, when you really are the smartest thing on the earth, not right now. I heard somebody say the other day that, you're not going to like this. Probably shouldn't say this in youth camp. But they said that somebody, even to the age of 25, really isn't mature until at least 25 or 26. They really are not an adult and know how to function and do things. I said, dadgum. I got married when I was 19, had my first child by 20, my second one by 22, and my last, my third one by 25. I guess I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have any more. When I got smart, I did. Good one, Monty. When I got smart, I didn't have any more. I can always count on Monty. When I got mature, I quit doing that. Yeah. You know, that's funny right there. Oh, no, no, we're not going there. No, Jason, you're not saying that in the mic. Hallelujah. You know how I know it's working? You know how I know that the mantle is where it belongs? I see it raising up. And my children, my grandchildren. I watched this morning as we were in our at Chapel of Praise, and we just had another little baby born. That whopper was 9 pounds, 11 ounces. We grow them half grown. We get them half grown when we get ours. And I watched as the Spirit of God just hovered over. They brought that little baby up and laid him in my arms. You know, I consider myself the mother of that church. So when there's a baby born, put that baby in my arms because I want to nurture him. And I began to speak to that little man, little Tristan, and I said, welcome to Chapel of Praise. Here's where you're going to learn how to worship. Here's where you're going to learn about the anointing of God. Here's where you're going to hear that you are the righteousness of God. Here's where you're going to know that who your true identity is, and it's in Christ Jesus. It's not in what everybody else is telling you. You know how I know it's working? Well, you see, I'm going to get Monty back now. See, I watched my husband teach my sons, not me and my daughter, but he taught my sons how to fish and hunt. You know where I'm going, don't you, Monty? See, I know that my husband taught them well, and I know that he's not ashamed of the fact that they might outfish him, because this year in Gaston, Virginia, my sons brought home a 74-pound blue cat. 71. Hey, I got a little evangelistic spirit inside of me there. They stole the 74-pound when we were down there in March. That's right. You see, my husband taught them. He taught them how to fish. He taught them how to hunt. Why did he do that? Because his mentor before him taught him how to fish and how to hunt and to be responsible and upstanding. And I watch it in my children, and now I'm watching it in my grandchildren and those that God has bringing into my life for us to touch. I'm watching it in our church. I'm watching it as the people are beginning to respond to the mantle of God, as I am learning how to let God love me. They are learning how to let God love them. It's working. This thing will work. And it's called the power of God. It's called the Holy Ghost. And it's not just so I can shook them a tie with the best of them. Because see, Acts chapter 1, that he told them to quit gazing and get moving with what they had. Acts chapter 2, they got the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going up to the house of God. And as they're about to enter the beautiful temple, the gate, beautiful. It was beautiful. Outside the gate, the scripture declares, laid a man who was lame from his mother's womb. Somebody, probably not meaning to, some mother, some church, crippled that young man, because it says he was crippled from his mother's womb. Somebody, probably didn't mean to, broke his legs and he couldn't walk. He couldn't stand up spiritually. There was really a man who was really lame. But I'm talking to you in the spiritual realm tonight. And that same spirit, I can't help but think, because Peter, when that Holy Ghost began to fall, he begins to stand up in the midst of the congregation when the Holy Ghost is fallen and it comes in like a wind. He stands up and it says, and the other 11 stood behind him and amened what he was saying. He said, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is just Joel's fulfillment. This is just the Holy Ghost that God promised he would pour out on his sons and his daughters. They would prophesy and they would dream dreams and they would have visions. That's what this is. And as Peter and John are about to enter that gate, here lays this man crippled from his mother's womb. Somebody broke him. Somebody broke him. Broke his heart, broke his spirit, tried to tear down his destiny. And I can't help but think that Holy Ghost that Peter and John had just experienced in Acts chapter 2 started. Oh, they started feeling it, and it started getting up inside of them, and they were no longer embarrassed or ashamed. And it says Peter and John, as they begin to go up, he looks at that man, and the guy looks at him and said, he's begging alms. Can I just have enough to get by today? Can I tell you something? I'm tired of people laying outside the gate that religion has killed and destroyed, and they've crippled them, and they've broken their hearts because they wanted to serve God, but you kept telling them they had to do this and they had to do that, and they couldn't possibly love God if they did that, and broke them. And all of a sudden, Peter and John began to walk in that anointing of that Holy Ghost that they just experienced in Acts chapter 2. And something stirred up inside of him, that mantle, that double portion. Peter and John stepped up. And they looked at that man. Nobody, see, if you were crippled or had any kind of a mark or mar on your body or anywhere, you could not enter the temple of God. That was the law. That's why I hate the law. That's why I'm glad Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, because it kept excluding people. And I like an inclusive gospel that says whosoever will, and we mean it. Peter and John stepped to that gate, and that man had been laying there all of his life. And it says they carried him. Who in the world is they? And why would you leave him out there? Why? Break the law and get that man in under the anointing of God. But they laid him at the gate to beg alms. He thinking he was about to receive the same thing from Peter and John that he'd always gotten, just enough to get by on today. He puts his little hand up, probably has a little cup, crippled, can't walk. Something rises up. And here's what I'm telling you. It might not happen tonight. It might not happen tomorrow. It might not even happen this whole week at camp. But in that time, when you see that broken person, that person who is so confused, has no idea who they are and why they have to suffer the way they're suffering, that double portion, that mantle that has fallen in this house that you are sitting under, that dynamite, that dunamis, that force that cannot be stopped, will rise up inside of you like it did in Peter and John that day. And they begin to declare, look on us. I don't have any silver and gold. I can't meet that financial need of yours, but such as I have, give I thee. Can I tell you something? You have what they need. You got the goods. It's in you. It is the power. It is the mantle. It is the anointing of God. And you know what breaks the yokes in people's lives? Gets them out of the situations that they're in. The heartaches. You might not be able to stop the pains and the heartaches, but you can break the chain by the anointing of God. Why are we here preaching to you for a week about the anointing of God? Because that's what's going to save the world. I asked my husband one day, he probably thought I was nuts, but that's okay. I said, do you believe that there will ever really be peace on earth? I mean, because that's what he came to give, didn't he? Behold, he has come to give us peace on earth. You know, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. He said, when we quit with all of our issues, lay down our opinion, lay down our right to be right, and let the anointing of God. You know, the scripture declares, from whence cometh wars? They come from inside of us. Because we got so much conflict inside of us. Because nobody ever came and said, he's the peacemaker. The anointing will break the yoke. No, I want to give you my list of rules, and if you meet my rules, then you can have peace. No, I'm here to tell you tonight, that's not how it works. The anointing of God. I heard a preacher this morning, and I'm going to close with this. He said it like this. He said, before you ever did any of the things that we call sin, whatever you call sin, whatever, you know, we've all got our list. You know, if you do this and this, you're going to bust hell wide open. You know, you're going down. Before there was ever that, there was the promise of God that said the blessings of the Lord will overtake you. Before you ever, before there was ever a factory that created any of the things you think might take you to hell, there was a provision made. There was a covenant made that said, I got you covered. I got this. I got this. You see, I remember what Scotty Todd said. Enjoy the ride. You see, I've been floundering and fighting and trying to keep my head above water and make myself good enough for God. And all of a sudden, I've come to realize there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. He looks at me and he said, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You know, just like you've been scoping them out. You know, you only been here a few hours. You done been scoping them out. You see, before he ever formed you in the womb, he already laid out a plan. He said, I got them covered A to Z before they can ever think about what it is they want to try to ruin their life with. I got a covenant with them. They're mine. They're mine. They're mine. You see, Brother Jake back there, he can tattoo up a storm. But he wasn't the originator of tattoos. God said he tattooed or he imprinted me on the palm of his hand. Every time he goes to do something, he extends that hand and there's my face. And he said, ha, I got it. I got her covered. And then he nailed it to the cross. He nailed it so that everything that I needed was provided for. First tattoo, and it was me. It was you. Because the mantle didn't just fall for one. The double portion fell for all. Where's the God of Elijah tonight? Where's the God of Elijah? I dare you to stand up and just declare to God, I want double. I want double. I'm not going to be satisfied with just the 7 miracles. I'll take 14. And it's not going to be a comparing, what do we want to call it, a challenge. Okay, I can outdo you. I got 7 to my credit. How many you got? No. But we're going to win the world one by one. By the lives that you are. By the life that is in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. And it's greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. May the force be with you tonight.